We'll call this September 19th meeting of the Firefighter Advisory Committee to order. Looks like roll call. We'll start with Vince and have everybody state their name.
I'm Vince Abrego, McAllen Fire.
Jason Collier, Highland Village Fire.
Daniel Deere, Dallas Fire Rescue.
Keith Schmidt, Gonzales Fire.
Mike Witzko, retired.
How do you follow that? Ken Swindle, Crum Fire Department.
Jim Reedy, San Antonio Fire Department.
Daniel Anderson, Dumas Fire Department.
The second will be the adoption of the minutes. You're supposed to read this. Why am I reading?
Adoption of the June 27, 2019 Firefighter Advisory Committee meeting minutes.
Very good.
Make a motion, Chair, to accept the minutes.
Got a motion and a second. Are there any discussion? Anybody have any? I know everybody read them before they got them.
Yes, I did read them.
I just need to make sure that I wasn't here at the last meeting.
Good Lord. Can you make a note that Swindle was not here? All right.
But we missed him.
I'm sure you did.
We've got a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Item number 3, report from the Curriculum and Testing Committee regarding possible changes to the certification curriculum manual as follows. A, revised head of department curriculum and reference list. B, revised driver operator curriculum, course instructor information, overview sheets, outlines, and reference lists.
Good morning, commissioners. I'm sure you all know Tim Rutland has announced his coming retirement. He is on personal leave this week and next week, and then at the end of September, he concludes his employment with the state. In the interim, he has asked me to serve in the position until the commissioners take further action, and so we'll be waiting for that. So Sylvia is here to talk to you guys about this first agenda item.
Good morning. Good morning. The first item is the head of department curriculum that has been updated to reflect the correct links that were not working in the curriculum. And there's been a few things where I added the things that have changed since this was last updated, like our new certifications. And I updated a few, there's verbiage that was updated about injury reporting that is different from what's in the manual. And then at the end of the curriculum, I took all the links out for the standards manual and added one that includes everything so that it's not so lengthy. And I did the same for the curriculum manual. Other than that, everything it's been an update. Do y'all have any questions?
Did you update the skills sheet too?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
And that will be out there.
All right. Anybody got anything? Motion to accept the changes?
Okay, I'll make a motion.
Second.
Accept the changes.
Motion second down here.
Second.
Reading. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Cool. We're good.
So
item
the next,
I'm sorry?
Driver operator.
Okay.
Item number 4, proposed amendments to 37.
We didn't.
Is that right?
We didn't do driver operator.
We didn't do the driver operator.
Yeah.
You already read it.
The next thing is the driver operator curriculum that's been updated for court instructor information and reference lists, and that was done by the curriculum committee. And you can see the changes in the reference list.
That's the only changes is just in the reference list?
Well, it also has the, you know, because it's not a mandatory certification, it has the information about it being voluntary and that a formal curriculum is not provided, and it refers to the NFPA chapters.
Gotcha. Any comments? there a motion to accept?
I'll make a motion.
A second, O'Hare.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Now, item number four. Proposed amendments to 37 Texas Administrative Code, Part 23, Chapter 403, Criminal Convictions and Eligibility for Certification.
Okay, this one is an update based on Senate Bill 1217, where we corrected some verbiage in our rule where it's specific to a conviction and not just conduct.
Charge. Motion to accept the changes.
What do we do, Mr. Chairman? What do we do if somebody, if a department reports a person up here for that activity without the conviction?
We still review it, and we respond with a letter that says no action was taken because we can't do anything unless they're convicted.
Okay. And does deferred adjudication count as a conviction or not?
No, it does not.
Okay. Thank you.
Motion accept.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Item number five. Proposed amendments to 37 Texas Administrative Code, Chapter 421, Standards for Certification.
Okay, this is an update that was based on Senate Bill 1200 regarding a military spouse. That bill was passed in the last session that would give a military spouse 3 years to obtain any certification for the industry that they may be working in. So we've had to add some verbiage for that in 421.
Can you explain this out a little better? Because I heard it the first time, and I was still a little confused. I read it again. I'm still a little confused.
So in the Senate bill, it gave military spouses who were working in other states that had certifications that might be that we have reciprocity for, like firefighting, teaching, nursing, those kind of industries where they can, because they get transferred around a lot, the military does, so that would give them 3 years to work in that industry before they had to become certified.
But they have to have a certification in that job from another state already?
Yes.
Okay.
And this is only for the period that their spouse is on military duty, right?
That is correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Motion to accept?
So moved.
Second. Motion and a second.
Let's go. I'm sorry.
No.
This one will be.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Item number six, proposed amendments to 37 Texas Administrative Code, Part 13, Chapter 433, Driver Operator.
So this is removing the grandfather language that was previously there for driver-operator aerial.
Pretty cut and dry. Is there a motion to accept?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Seven.
Item number seven, proposed amendments to 37 Texas Administrative Code, Part 13, Chapter 437, Fees.
You know, you see before you the proposal is to go from 85 to 55 for the certification. So this would be a reduction that is consistent with all of the previous reductions that were made in the past several years. We have reduced the renewal fees, we have reduced the testing fees, and now this is opportunity to reduce the certification fee. And the reduction is done so that the revenue that is generated still will meet the target for the biennium.
Comments?
Yeah, I kind of agree. I was against going back the last time, and I'm not sure I understand this time why we're doing it. Are we meeting the service level that you guys need to meet? Do you need more people? And how are we going to, if we keep reducing, how are we going to meet those things we need to be doing? As far as, I know that you guys are putting more out there on the inspectors. It's taking a lot of time. I know I just went through one and they did a great job, but it took a lot of time, a lot more time than what it's been in the past. I'm just wondering how, with everything we've got that we're talking about on, bunker gear, everything everybody's trying to do, and the cancers and everything that we talk about all the time. Has anything been looked at as far as expanding you guys out, and how would we do that? If you can't expand through this, or is this something that goes back to the black hole? It's been built up in me for a while, so yeah. Sorry. I think y'all do a great job, but I think you need more people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good question and good comments. The functions and activities that the agency is currently charged with, we're able to continue to provide that service and that level of service that has been expected with the current FTE count and with the current resources that we have. Any additional increases in service, that would raise the question of the need for additional resources. But as of right now, to my knowledge, that we don't need additional FTEs to continue the current level of service. We are continue to make improvements, and some of that has to do with technology, the use of better technologies within the agency.
Let me stop you short. The thing I'm looking at is not. I did make a mistake and say only looking at inspectors. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the whole commission. Y'all have. When's the last time you had an expansion, or when you had you hired people in to help? Because I think we're still getting more firefighters every year, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to increase what you guys are doing. And I know before, I don't know how you stayed up with what you did to begin with. You got one or two people doing jobs that probably three or four people need to be doing. I'm just asking, when is that going to be a process where it's looked at?
It's a state agency. The legislature has to.
I get that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But if we don't talk about it, I mean, they're bringing this in here to us, so I can't vote for to go down when I can't see us expanding you guys where you need to be. And yeah, the money doesn't go to. I know that it's going to go in the black hole. I get that. But when do they start waking up and doing something different? I mean, I know it's not a positive thing to say in front, and it's not a politically correct thing to say. I don't care. I care about the firefighters in the state of Texas, and I care about you guys because y'all are working your tails off trying to make sure we're where we need to be. And I don't see that we are really doing what we should be doing to assist you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll just to repeat myself, with the service level that we are providing right now meets the agency requirements. And to our knowledge, we've not been unable to meet those service level requirements. And so the funds that are proposed here for reduction do go back to, as you know, the fire service itself or the local agencies that are regulated. As far as assessing and evaluating the agency, we do that every day as we go through work to assess, are we able to keep up with the services? And so far we have been able to. Opportunities to expand the agency or grow the agency, of course, that'd be the commissioners along with, your advice to them.
And I see one on perch right now.
If internally at the agency, we determine that we don't have the resources needed to provide the level of services that are required by our authority, well, then certainly internally we would not be proposing to cut where we know that we need that resource.
When was the last time you added a person to your section?
Well, I don't know the answer to that, but again, that's the state legislature that determines that. I can get that answer, but yeah.
Well, an example of some of the confusion. So I know a year ago I requested a report. What were the most common violations that your inspectors found when you were inspecting out there at the fire department level? And that report was supposed to be delivered last January, and the director came and said he didn't have the staff to actually give us that answer. And we're still waiting. And so we never did get that answer to that question. But I clearly heard him sit there in that chair and said, if I had the staff, I could do that. Mm-hmm. So to us, that kind of sets off an alarm or ask the question, what can we do to get you the staffing that you need? And I'm not sure that that's where Chief is coming from, but we seem a little confused on that, because I'm still looking for, and maybe Chief's getting ready to explain, why are we reducing, what's the justification for reducing the fees? I'm not clear on that still. So if he can weigh in, that would be a big help.
Yeah, Robert Moore, presiding officer of the commission. What we attempted to do was, Tim did an evaluation, business evaluation of the cost that it takes to run the commission. Okay, based on projected recertifications, projected new certifications, we took a history of what we typically are bringing in. And then he took what it would cost to run the agency plus a 10% buffer in there. We made sure that we kept a 10% buffer. And then we did our calculations and determined that we could lower the fees. We went up 80 up from, what was it, $35 to $85 a few years back. And at that time, we had vowed that we would do what we could do to bring the fees back down as we saw that we could do them. So we've done this evaluation. We've kept a 10% buffer in it to make sure for any additional type issues. If you look at the budget is... What was it?
$7,592,000 is the required, and that includes a 5% contingency.
So
in addition to the minimum.
We're trying to do what's best for the firefighters out there and get those fees back down. Now, I know that some of the cities pay those fees, but then you still have firefighters that are having to pay the fees individually. So we're just trying to take care of the fire service as far as the cost, and we don't feel that it will burden the commission at all. Tim said that he had all the positions filled, plenty of staff, and as y'all well know, we can't just increase staff on our say-so. It has to go through the process. Okay?
I think I'm with Swindle and Daniel, though. This commission has grown enormously in responsibility, but also the amount of people that are involved, the firefighters in the field. Yet, the service level is good for what they have, but it needs to be expanded. As the profession grows, this regulatory commission should also grow with it. And we haven't grown, and now we're giving money back. It seems kind of opposite of what you should intend. So, I mean, you explained it, but from our point of view, we think the commission should grow as the fire service grows in service and in everything else. And if Rutland sat there and said he didn't have the staff to do something, then there must be some kind of disconnect somewhere. So,
well, all I can tell you is we went on Tim's recommendation at the time, We felt that it was a good decision. If you don't feel it's a good decision, then you need to bring it back to the commission. That's all I can tell you.
Are we on a time crunch here for some reason? In other words, I know we just renewed. Everybody's in the process right now of renewing. Because this would be a huge impact in my organization when we're certifying 2,000 members. And if you're lowering it from 85 to anything, that's a lot of money in my organization. But I think some of us might have the reservation is I don't want to do this and then a year from now turn right back around and have to say we're raising the fees back because we know what that struggle looks like.
We did take all of that into consideration. We don't feel that it's going to cause us in a year, 2 years, or whatever to have to come back and raise the fees.
I guess
we're very conscious of that, just like y'all are.
Sure, I'm aware.
And so, you know, we made what we feel was a good decision as commissioners for the fire service of the state of Texas that's not going to adversely impact this agency at this point in time. So
I guess my question would be to ask you, is there a chance that this could be tabled to a further meeting? Because I personally have questions. I'd love to see spreadsheets. I'd love to see some of the justification that the director presented to you, and you're throwing numbers out here to us. You just read a couple numbers off of a page, but that doesn't really tell me anything yet. You're asking me to weigh in on a financial issue, and I don't mind weighing in on a financial issue, but I certainly would have to have the data, the numbers to be educated to make the right decision. And I'm not questioning that we can lower the fees and everything continues to operate as efficiently as it has. But I still would want to see those numbers just so I'm better educated in making my decision.
Okay.
So, question. This isn't for renewals, right? This is only for new certifications.
Right.
This is for new certifications, not renewals.
So impact on fire department budgets.
Renewals stay at 85. Yeah.
Renewal is 75.
75. Oh, 75. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so this isn't changing the renewal, which impacts fire department budgets. This is only changing new certifications.
Right.
That's
so
correct.
Well, that's still impactful for my organization. We've got 65 of them right now that are getting ready to be certified in the very near future as well. So that would be an impact on our budget. But like I say, I just would like to have more education and more knowledge before I weigh in and make a decision. And I'm just speaking for myself. Perhaps the rest of this board here has that
information. The only thing I can say is, you know, your duty as advisory is to come back and making it a recommendation, whether we table, whether we, you know, what we need to do to make you more comfortable. So
do we know how many?
That's the direction we went.
Do we know how many new certifications we average a year and how many of those are done individually, like an individual rather than a department?
We had the numbers, but I cannot tell you what they are. I don't have the sheet in front of me.
I have a suggestion. Those numbers, they had a sheet with them at the commission meeting. Mm-hmm. Can we just get that printed off, take a 10-minute bathroom break, get them printed off so that these guys can look at the sheet with the numbers? Mr. Chairman.
You have those sheets?
No. Which numbers? The recertification?
Well,
the numbers.
Yeah, you have those.
Oh, I've got a table that Tim provided to me that shows the estimates of the revenue and where the break-even point is, which was the recommended. But I thought y'all were asking about.
That's the number.
That's it?
The sheet.
Yeah. We can make copies of this.
Yeah, could we do that and have a couple minutes to help educate ourselves
sure.
to make a
sure.
informed decision?
I think the other thing everybody needs to remember, and I don't disagree with anything that's being said, but the fees that are charged by this agency have no bearing on how this agency operates. It's not going to make it any better or any worse. When in 2011, when we raised the fees to meet the $3 million rider of just giving money back to the state of Texas, the fees went to 85, and it was probably the third largest meeting we've had here in 25 years. And the promise was made that day that as soon as the fees could be lowered, they would. I'll tell you from the last commission meeting, the commissioners had a similar debate to this right here, and lowering this fee is happening because the agency has done such a magnificent job, and this board and the commissioners have done creating new certifications, more opportunity for more certifications. So there's more money coming in, and what's happening is we're giving more than $1.5 million back to the state everywhere. We're meeting the operating budget that the agency is expected and legislated to meet, and raising additional funds for the state of Texas. And so what the commissioners had to look at, and what this forum is going to show you, is that we're way out of balance. I mean, we went back a session ago, two sessions back, got that reduced from $3 million to $1.5 million rider, and continue to try to get the rest of it removed. The question by the legislatures every time is, why? You're not having any trouble making it. Why is this such a hardship on the agency? And the legislators are asking, why are you still charging the firefighters so much for the certification fees when that money's not needed anymore? You're way above what we're asking you to bring in. So there's a lot at play here, and I think the questions that are being asked are great. We can get the form. I don't think it's going to answer your questions or your concerns, but we can certainly do that. I think at the end of the day, we're lowering the fees. That's better for the future firefighters of Texas, and that was a promise made 7 years ago.
Yeah, if you remember when we had the 1.5, we reduced down to 1.5. We didn't take a big action at that point in time because we wanted to see the impact. Okay. By doing that, 1.5, and continuing, you know, we made a few adjustments, but not much. We just had to give the state back a lot more money at the end of that last fiscal year. That's why we've been able to take this action, because the 1.5 was reduced.
And realistically, Daniel, the request for the increase in manpower has to come before the budget goes to the legislature.
Right.
So it's incumbent on the agency to ask for that beforehand. But I at least wanted to verbalize the fact that they need more people. We see it in the field.
Oh, yeah.
That you need more people. You guys do a great job with what you have, but I can tell you for a fact, I see it in the field and I hear from people that you guys need more people. So,
you guys are an extension of the fire service,
yeah.
and the fire service gets it done regardless what they give you. So might have 4-man staffing today, and tomorrow you're down to 2 on a truck. They're still going to go to the fires and put them out. They're still going to make the calls, get it done. They'll complain about it every step of the way, but it'll still happen.
Yeah.
And that's what happens here. You guys get more and more piled on top of you, and you continue to make it work. Testament to your dedication here, but I don't think the fees and any discussion here is going to impact you getting more people here or getting more done. That has to happen. Big thing building up the road. And lowering the fees, because we can show that it's practical to do that, goes a long way down the street next time when we ask for more FTEs and more on the business side of this.
Okay.
So, do you guys want to take a break and get that spreadsheet?
Yeah, I think Daniel had a good point. I think we need to do that.
All right, so let's take 10 minutes. We've got to make, 8 copies? So we'll recess. It's dragging the meeting out. We would have been done by now.
We ain't even got to that story.
I know.
Exciting, man. Hey, at least it's on the record.
That's
it. Can we call him?
Everybody back. We'll reconvene. We're still on agenda item 7, and we're going to review the notes that have been handed out.
What I passed out to you guys is a document that I had, which is this one, the table with the highlighted. This is what Tim Rutland passed on to me in preparation for this meeting. So this is what I had. And then I also gave you guys a copy that is graphs. And if you recall, those are graphs that the commissioners reviewed at the last meeting the proposal that you're looking at, the proposed change, and those were not included in the commissioner's workbook at the time. So you guys didn't see these. These were not available today or even last commission meeting to you guys. So I think the graphs is what you were actually asking about. Those I have not seen until just this moment.
Well, and I think too, what's important is on the top of the fee structure page, what the agency has to raise is 7.592.
Yes.
And for the biennial revenue for this year, it's going to be at 8.5, and that shows right there that we're exceeding what's required. And right. There's no benefit to the agency for exceeding that number.
If you look at that first line that's highlighted where it says 7,592,000, that's what's required for the biennium, and that includes a 5% pad, if you will, contingency. That includes that. So we're making, Tim was making a projection on reduction of fees that includes a padding or a 5% contingency.
So it's a 5% and not a 10% bump?
The other thing I'll point out to you is that if you look at the middle of that table, where it shows 7,520,000 in red, and then you look to the left of that column, of that row, and you see the 55 and the 50. It's pretty self-evident, but when you reduce the fees to 50, 55, we will still achieve the required estimated budget that you see at the top line, 7.6. When you go down to 50, we will drop below that. So that's where the 55 comes from. The 55 that's in the proposed rule change. And as I stated earlier, we've already done a reduction in the renewals in previous years. We've done a reduction in exams. So that's why the certifications is now being proposed.
And to clarify, this is that's a 5% contingency, not a 10%, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
I'll point out that contingency is determined here at the agency. This is not something that's directed outside of this agency.
Sure.
It makes good business sense. I mean, that's basic business 101 to have a contingency. So, I mean,
just wanted to be clear that that's internal decision making to hold that kind of money in a contingency.
So we're looking at about 14,000 certifications, new certifications per year, basically, correct?
Yes.
And so this reduction affects just those 14,000.
Yes.
Okay. And it looks like on this graph here that we've increased certifications since last year, 3,000 new certifications from 2017 to 2018. The projection is about 3,000 more new certifications based on.
One thing that's not in here also, though, is the revenue coming in from GIFSAC.
What is that? How much is that? I don't remember.
About $75,000 a year.
That fund is a fund that the agency gets to keep.
Not all of it.
Okay. But that's why it's not in this proposed. It's not included in this proposed estimated need. Because the IFSAC doesn't go back into that fund.
How much do they get to keep?
You know?
Once.
65.
They appropriate a certain amount of money.
Right.
And you make it above that and get to keep it. But you have to pay that $65,000 back first.
Yes.
Then you keep it and keep it above that.
Oh, okay.
At the agency.
10,000 or so.
So 10,000.
And certified persons, is that certifications or actual individual people that are certified?
That's individual. Or no, that's certificates issued. Because each certificate costs a fee.
So how many, I'm just curious for this discussion, how many people do we certify Like, I could have five certifications, but I count as one person. How many actual firefighters do we regulate in this state?
It's around 34,000 at the moment.
Thanks.
Yeah, 33,566. Well, that's 2018. So that includes...
Like I said, this discussion is going to happen.
Is that certifications or
next year? 2 years.
That's number of certified
people.
Yes.
So for like the two of us that have multiple certifications,
I like hearing that from one.
That's correct. Yes.
And also for clarification, I may be misreading this. I see a continual trend on every one of these charts of continued growth. But in 2013, we had a spike. I can't recall why that was for certificates issued, but also correlating on certified training facilities, we had a significant dip that year. Any chance historically you can remind us of why that
happened? I think the spike in certifications was due to new certificates that became available. I'm not really sure what happened with training facilities, but I can assure you it has gone back up significantly.
You can see it's grown back to beyond that, but it's clear looking at that chart that it was a 1 year spike. I don't know if it was the incident safety officer.
I'll try to find out.
We had a bunch of volunteer ones. I think we had a bunch just hitting that year. Wasn't that when Keneally was here?
But we also had a dip that same year in training facilities, certified training facilities. I know this is just historical, so it's not relevant to what we're discussing here. I was just curious.
There were probably a lot of variables that affected the training facility issue. If you want me to find out, I can.
No, I'm good. I'm fine.
That's spike year too. We had less facilities, but we issued more certificates. Mm-hmm.
Have you seen a significant increase in certifications through online programs?
For training facilities applying for online?
No, I guess individuals applying for certifications that have gone through online programs. Have we seen an increase because of the testing process and, of course, the increase in online, I guess, people looking for online courses? Are we seeing
online courses versus online testing?
The courses.
Joyce.
They can take. Go ahead, Joyce.
Yeah. Okay.
We have seen an increase in certifications that result from online classes as well as the testing that's available online now. So that is increasing, which is what we expected and what we wanted.
And I guess that would impact the training facility, renewals, because a lot of departments are now seeking online versus
that is correct.
Hosting their own.
And okay. Online training facility is separate from
right.
The classroom version, so that does count as a new facility.
These are the kind of increases in services, if you will, that we are seeing due to the use of technologies. That was one of the... So, and related to the conversation that y'all were having about expanding, I think was the word that you were using.
So are we ready to make a motion on agenda item number 7, which is to lower the fees from 85 to 55 for new certification?
I'll make a motion so we can move forward.
I'll second it.
All right. Any more discussion?
Yeah, I'd like to see something. I mean, I'd like the commission to take this up. I'd like for them to do whatever needs to be done to look into it, actually do a good survey on you guys and make sure that you've got what you need. I think a lot of times what we do is you guys have worked your tails off and you've made it work, but I think that's not we're not doing you right by doing that. I think you need the people that you, and I still do. I still believe that you're understaffed, and I think something needs to be done about it. We say this can't be done about it, but I still think. I mean, if it was me, I would table this thing and send it back to the commission and say, hey, you tell us what you're going to do for this particular situation, and then we'll try to move on. I mean, I'm good with that, but I think somebody's got, at some point, it's got to be done. We're saying now it's a year. It always seems like, okay, next year we're going to do this, or the year after this, we're going to do this. You know, I don't like playing like that. I just don't. But anyway, that's just me.
And I'm gonna pile in on that. Having this agency stay stagnant's not the right word, but at the same level it's been for almost since I've been coming up here. But the profession, the certifications, and everything are increasing. Our regulatory responsibility is increasing over the safety of the firefighters, yet our agency has stayed at this same level. That is criminal. And it does not do the firefighters of this state justice. And so I hope that in the next biennium, when you guys look at your budget, somebody sits down and maybe goes out on a limb and says, hey, this is where we can improve our service to the firefighters. This is where we can be better. It's not a criticism of you guys. I just think that as the service grows, this commission needs to grow with it. And it hasn't. So, and we're advocates for that. So, and I'm still going to vote for it, but I wanted to say my piece on the record. So.
Well, I think we've got a good opportunity. The agency's coming under sunset review, and that's when that's the best time to bring this up. So, good comment. Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Yay.
Motion carries.
Item number 8, proposed amendments to 37 Texas Administrative Code 13, Chapter 445, Administrative Inspections and Penalties.
This item was at the last commission meeting. As you recall, the previous sunset review recommended that the agency would have administrative penalty included in the rules, the charts and the tables for that, and so that's what you see that was proposed to the commission. There was some language in the rule that I'll let Dina address those that was proposed, and I think you have some comments about the language.
Let's see.
As she's reviewing that, and please let me know.
Is this about the cease and desist?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think there was some language in the proposed rule regarding cease and desist. I'm sorry. There is some language in the proposed rule regarding cease and desist authority, but under your statute, you don't have that authority to issue cease and desist orders, so I advise the staff to delete that provision.
So I would recommend now, after hearing that, that needs to be in, go to the next legislature, that we have the authority to cease and desist on a serious issue. I'm shocked that we don't have that authority. That should be something that's recommended to the legislature next time, to change the law, to give us that authority.
And I will let you know that when the inspectors are out inspecting either a training activity or just a biennial inspection, when they do encounter situations, violations that are imminent danger, hazard to life and safety, our instruction to them is to tell them to stop and cease and desist from doing that. So the inspectors do not let that activity continue. Even though understood that it may not actually be within our authority based on the statute. So I'll just put that out there. If there's a training activity that's going on, but typically we don't have to get to that point because the training instructors and the facility already know that it's a life safety hazard. But the instruction to the field guys is not to allow imminent danger to life and safety to occur when they're there. I have copies of revised chart table for the minor and major. Deb, did you?
Yeah.
Okay, so you've got the revised tables proposed. And you also have another document with each of those. You should have, do you have the minor errata and the major errata?
Yes.
So you can read what the major changes are, but very briefly, I'll just tell you that on the proposed minor and major matrix or table, we've added at the top of the page the abbreviations so that it clearly tells you where it's coming from, the NFPA standard or the Texas Administrative Code or the Texas Government Code. And then we changed the table itself or the matrix itself. We changed the column to the left to read rule numbers rather than reference that the commissioners had in their document, rule numbers. And then we made additional changes that are enumerated specifically in those two documents, the minor and major errata document. So any place in the proposed table that you have before you where we've made a change, you'll see an asterisk, and that asterisk relates directly to the errata, and the errata gives you an explanation of the reason for the change. And I'll go through it line by line if you choose, but as you can see, there's quite a few. Changes we made were something like this. We had listed, for example, in a couple of places, a specific line for an NFPA chapter that said, the line first said, this is the requirement, and then immediately below that, there was seven subscripts for that requirement. So what I've done is I've taken the seven separate subscript lines out of the table and just added them to that top line. So the requirement is still there. It was just reduced from eight lines in the table to one, if that makes sense. You can see that in the errata doc. That's an example of the kind of change we made. Other changes we made, simple errors that we had in the previous matrix that we presented to the commissioners, an error, for example, in a reference number to a specific chapter. We added some language to clarify the requirement under the violation column. This was for both documents. You'll see that the minor document, the minor matrix has more changes than the major. And you'll see each of those explained in that errata document. The major matrix has fewer changes.
Is this document going to be a living document as the standards change, where it can be updated?
Yes, it absolutely has.
Or do we have to come back and vote every time?
If they're non-substantive changes, they can be made at the time of adoption in the adoption preamble.
Okay. And my other question is. If harm is caused to a firefighter or a civilian, but a firefighter, from the violation, how is that handled administratively? So if someone disregards PPE or SCP or whatever, and harm comes to a firefighter because of that, how is that going to be handled?
These matrix are used for purposes of assigning penalty related to dollar amount penalties. So that's what the matrix is. So the matrix, you will not see some reference to a penalty which you're asking about if there's a harm to an individual.
Mining on your discipline area.
So I'll give you an example. Let me give you an example. I'm reading down the list. So under protective clothing, failure to provide fire protection personnel with PPE that is compliant with the current FPA standard in effect, blah, blah, blah. So if a firefighter gets injured on the fire ground and his gear is found to be, say, 11 years old, out of compliance, and he was knowingly given that gear, how is that going to be handled? Is it just going to be the straight-up penalty, or is the person that has the authority over them going to be penalized in some fashion?
Well, that was, so the agency has authority to place entities and personnel on probation or to remove certifications, therefore no longer having the authority to perform duties. But that's in a different section than this section with the penalty matrix.
Okay. I hear about it that people just have complete disregard for what we're doing. People in authority don't follow our rules, and if somebody gets hurt because of that, what's going to happen? So if it's going to be a financial penalty and they'll have to explain to their bosses, then that's the way it is. But
Right, and we've actually enacted this type of discipline, and it's located in 419.036, which I think is directly addressing what your question is.
Okay.
And it's titled Direct Disciplinary Actions. And I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, but just write briefly. The commission may revoke or suspend a certificate, place on probation a person whose certificate has been suspended, or reprimand regulated persons for violations of this subchapter. And I'll stop reading there. But those are authorities that we have, which I think is...
And have we ever done that?
Yes.
Good. Okay. So I didn't know that.
Yes.
So. Okay. Thank you.
So if we have a penalty, it's a first-time offense, does it go directly to the fine portion, regardless if it's a first-time offense, or is there a time frame that's put out by the commission when the infraction is written up, specifying what the times and needs to be taken care of?
The process for enforcement includes a time frame that allows the agency to come into compliance. The time frame is determined by the severity of the violation. That's why we have a minor and a major.
Right.
If the violation continues after the time frame that's permitted, then the citation may be issued.
Okay.
So it has nothing to do specifically with if it was a first time or not.
If something was wrong at the department, the inspector came in, looked at it, said, "Hey, this is not going to work. I'm writing you up for this. You've got so many days to get this fixed." Then if I didn't come back and get it fixed after that, then he would say, now we can levy the fine.
Yes, it involves other components
to
the process.
I get that.
Yes.
But I mean, that could be how it would work. I'm just trying to figure out
there's a due process for an agency to come into compliance, and if they're not in compliance at the conclusion of that time frame, then the penalty can be administered.
Gotcha.
Very well done. This is very well done. You guys did a nice job on this.
Real good.
Is there a motion to accept the proposed amendment?
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. Yeah, I think we want to go with the recommended changes that were handed out.
Exhibit 2.
Thank you. Exhibit 1 and 2 for minor changes.
I made the motion.
Read it. Any other discussion? So everybody's clear. The motion is to accept the proposed changes in the handout that we all received this morning, the minor and the major. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Number 9.
Item 9, proposed amendments to 37 Texas Administrative Code, Part 13, Chapter 453, Hazardous Materials.
Again, this is a removal of grandfathering language that expired May 31st.
Motion to accept.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Item 10, proposed amendments to 37 Texas Administrative Code, Part 13, Chapter 457, minimum standards for incident safety officer certification.
Same thing, more grandfathering language that's being removed.
Motion accept.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Item 11, future meeting dates, locations, and agenda items.
Do any of the members have any items?
I have an agenda.
All right.
So, Paul, back last year on December 13th of 2018 at the Firefighter Advisory Committee, I had asked for a report from Director Rutland at that time. And in March of this year, at the March 21st Firefighter Advisory Committee, item number 9 at that time was, I'll read it to you here. It says, update on request by committee member Daniel DeYeer on producing an annual report regarding compliance, inspection activities, results, and common violations.
Mm-hmm.
And at that March 21st meeting was when we were informed there was no report. No report was given, and I'm still looking for it. So at the time, I know the director mentioned that if he had the staff, he could do that, because I'm under the impression that you guys have used different reporting systems over the last few years because you're transitioned. So pulling that information is not as easy as just running a report or generating a report. But amongst some of the other members of this committee, we had talked about looking at some of that stuff so we could see what trends are, and we maybe can try to help educate the department so we don't see the most common violations as frequently as we do. So that need is still there, and I know the request from us is still there. So if there's a way we could put that, and I understand the time constraint, and I understand that I may be asking for something that appears to be simple and easy on my part, but it could be a inundating task on yours. So, but I don't want it to go away. So okay. We would like to see that answer at some point.
I very well remember the request you made. Obviously, that's in my area of
sure.
responsibility. And so I do remember that Tim was speaking about the IT transition from an old system, basically Microsoft Access. We were transitioning from data that was entered into Microsoft Access related to violations, and we transitioned to this new program, the FORM system that we currently use. And so even in transitioning to FORM, there was ongoing development of that FORM system for other program areas, certification, testing, and so that's why I believe, I won't speak directly for Tim, but I believe that's why we were unable to get that report. So I will work with IT to see what data we do have available from the new system and keep this in mind, and we'll work on it. For identifying trend purposes, we'll need to go look at the old access data as well. So it's two different databases that we'll be working with. I'm not the IT expert, but that sounds a little complicated to me. But
sure.
I will be looking.
And I want to be reasonable. I mean, if it takes more than the next meeting, if that's 3 months from now, that's not fast enough for you to get everything done that needs to be done correctly. I'm fine with that. We're
right.
not under
right.
a time constraint here.
The request,
but we would like the answer at some point.
The request that y'all made related to trends on violations is a good request, and I think that's good information for the agency to look at and for you guys to look at. So I'll work on it, and
okay.
I'll keep you informed about obstacles to the process to get that information.
Okay. That was the only other agenda item.
Thank you. Anybody else have an agenda item for a future meeting? Now we turn to Deb to tell us when our future meeting is.
December the 4th.
Will this building still be here, or will we be in the large swimming pool next door?
Might be. Either one, take a peek.
The building might be here. You need to fly in.
Helicopter.
It's looking that way now. There was a discussion last night. We feel for the people on the upper floors because you can't get a ladder truck anywhere around this building. So
can't get an engine anywhere.
Yeah,
around
it
this
is. All right.
Do we need to take any action on the item?
No. No. I think we're good.
So, I'm
motion to adjourn. I'm sorry. You're supposed to read that.
That's all right. We got a motion and a second to adjourn. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Pick somebody.
Come on, Swindon. I figured you'd oppose that. All right.
I can if you'd like.